All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, May 7th, 2018. What's going on? How is ya? How's it going? How are you? Is your hockey team still alive in the NHL playoffs? Well, you know what? Congratulations. I hope you're happy. Because mine isn't. Mine is not. Mine is done. For the goddamn season. I do want... Oh, yeah. Hit the printer while I'm doing the podcast. No fucking consideration for the high level of quality of a program that's going on in here.
Sorry.
Why would you do that?
Sorry.
You come in here and you apologize to the incredible intellect of my listeners.
Sorry. I hit print. Sorry.
Oh, my God, Nia. Can we sit down and talk about how you cut up that steak last night? Oh, where you running? Where you running to?
We already settled it. Why do we need to talk about it?
Listen to this. You want to talk about one of the shadiest moves ever. Come here. Sit down. Sit down, gorgeous. Well, bring her in here. It'll take some of the sting out of what I'm going to say to you. So anyway, so we go out, you know, a friend of ours is in town. And of course, she wanted to meet our lovely, beautiful, absolutely charming, always in a great mood, gorgeous daughter, right? And we love showing her off. We love getting the compliments. Oh, my God. I know, right? I did that. You know, I didn't. I took a half-court shot, and God did the rest. The Lord! Anyways, so we end up going out to a steakhouse, right? So Nia's like, I don't want a steak, but I'd like some steak. Are you going to order a steak? And it's like, yes. When in Rome?
Hi.
Hi. Hi, did you just say hi to me? You say hi to the listeners, cutie. So Nia's just like, are you going to get a steak? I don't want steak.
I didn't want a whole steak. I wanted to get tuna tartare, and I wanted a crab, the lump crab cake.
Which is what you ordered.
Yes, and I wanted a little bit of steak because I want to do a little surf and turf. Yes.
So what does old Freckles do? What does old Freckles do? He orders, of course. What do you order?
Billy Steakface.
Oh, Billy Steakface. I ordered the bone-in ribeye. How the hell did that happen? Sorry. What just happened there? Somehow I moved and the volume got turned down. Anyways, I'll have to edit that part out. So anyways, old Billy Steakface, I order a bone-in ribeye. Mm. So Cutie Pie here starts getting frustrated. Nah, starts making noise. And I don't want to be that guy at the restaurant with the baby that's crying. Especially in a steakhouse. A steakhouse, you have a lot of people there in their second marriages. People who, you know... Oh. Didn't get married, guys who are paying for a house that they're no longer allowed to go into. You know, there's a lot of that going there. You know, a lot of child support being paid, you know, by some of these people who had to rebuild it again. So look at your belly hanging out. Look at your belly hanging out. What are you doing? So my daughter was getting frustrated. So I started, you know, walking her around the restaurant and everything like that. Being the amazing father that I am, right?
Yeah.
Running around. She's so short. I got to, like, you know, bend at that angle that it's like killing my back. But I stuck it out. I did it for you. I did it for all those divorcees in there, right? All those people paying child support. Even the women there. Women are starting to pay child support, too.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen that? You haven't read that in Cosmo?
Cosmo, Bill?
Cosmo, yeah.
Cosmo.
Yeah.
Just finish the story.
And they're complaining that, which I love. I love this whole equal pay, because you wait, Nia. You wait till enough women have to start paying child support, and you watch those divorce laws change like that. So anyways, while I'm being the amazing father that I am, obviously this is my version of the story. My steak arrives. So Nia goes to cut off her portion of the steak, and basically what she does is she cuts the thing like lengthwise, right along, like an inch away from the bone. And she takes all the meat along the bone and then gives me the rest of it. Now, for those of you who aren't meat eaters, all you vegetarians out there, the most flavorful part of a bone-in ribeye, the reason is all along the bone. And she took the best meat. And I was so upset with her. I told her that she needed to go to Ancestry.com because that was some northern white European shit. What you just did there.
Hi. I did. That's my favorite part, is the bone.
Okay. All right, guys, if you want to know what it's like to be a husband and a father, that's what it is.
Oh, come on.
She makes the baby. She goes through all of that. She goes through 9 months of hell.
Ten.
10 months of hell. Actually, there's the middle three that's like the summer vacation, but whatever. We'll say 10 months of hell. And you know what? And then as a guy, you pay for it for the rest of the relationship. She gets it all back with little shady cuts of bone and ribeye. I couldn't believe that. Hi. Hi, cutie.
Look at the way she's smiling at you.
Huh?
She is in love with you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I'll be in love with her until the day she takes the good part of my Cheerios. All right.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, cutie? All right. Daddy has to talk filthy so I can still buy you diapers. That's how it works. I'm sorry. I'm too far down this road to pretend that you have a respectable dad. All right, lovely ladies.
That's it?
Well, I mean, I thought that you were going to try to defend your position and you didn't. You're like, yeah, I did. That's what I did.
I mean, that's really all there is to say. I did. I saw that, and I was like, I want the meat along the bone.
You're doing Donald Trump right now.
What does that mean?
That's how he got out of stuff. You said all this horrible stuff about women, and he was like, no, I said that about Rosie O'Donnell. And they were like, no, you said that about other women. He was like, yeah, you're probably right. It's like, all right. I thought that was going to be a big, funny fight, and it was nothing. Ow, you're on my ankle.
Be careful, honey.
Okay, all right.
We're going bye-bye?
Ladies. Bye bye. Can you say bye bye?
Bye
bye. Bye
bye. Oh, come on.
All right. Oh well.
Bye.
Yeah, I'll see you later.
I'll buy you a cheeseburger later.
Oh, okay. You get my steak and I get a cheeseburger later? Let me guess, McDonald's? What do you guys want? What do you like better? You like McDonald's or Burger King? I've always been a McDonald's guy. Always been McDonald's. And it's not like I'm out here looking for another advertiser. I'll tell you right now, I feel the best poison in fast food is McDonald's. This is how I would rank. This is how I rank my fast food cheeseburgers, Nia.
Ooh. Like
all right. As much as there's some great ones out there like In-N-Out, I have to go to McDonald's because the child sense memory.
Okay.
You know, that just takes me back to, you know, when my bicycle was orange, just like my hair that I used to have. And I had the white tape around the handlebars.
Huh? I can tell you what happened. I went to the to see my trainer. And when I got in there...
Oh, yeah? Did you take the best mat in the gym?
Yes. And he was finishing up with another client, and she had her daughter there, who's like 4 years old, and she's so cute. So I was like, oh, you want to see pictures of my baby? And so I was showing her pictures of the baby. And then she saw a picture of you with the baby, and she goes, who's that? And I said, oh, that's her daddy. That's my husband. And she goes, oh, okay. And she goes, why doesn't he have any hair?
Who said that? The kid?
The kid, the four-year-old. And I said, well, you know, sometimes when people get older, you know, their hair starts to come out. And so he just decided to cut it off because he didn't want it just to be falling out. And I think it looks better this way. And she was like, yeah, that's true. And that was it. It was so cute.
Why did I need to know that? That wasn't cute. I already feel bad enough about myself.
Oh,
do you know how many kids have looked at me and said, you're ugly in my life?
How many?
At least six.
No.
I swear to God, even when I had hair.
No.
Yeah.
Well, children didn't say you were honest.
Children. And children are honest. I know what all you adults are doing. You're just being nice to me. Maybe you deserve that bone and ribeye and just give me the shit part. Hey, you ugly piece of shit. Get out of here.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah, cute story, Nia.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll leave.
Yeah. Hey, Nia, I met this girl the other day, and I showed her a picture of you, and she was like, hey, why is her butt so big? And I was like, well, you know, your butt isn't big, all right? But now I'm going to fucking pay for it. I think you're going to laugh at that, and I'm going to pay for that comment forever.
Yeah.
Right? You can just eviscerate me.
First of all, I didn't say anything. It was the child that said it. So I don't know why you're making up some scenario where someone's insulting, like, my looks that's not a child. And for the record, my ass might be big, but it's, like, perfect, so.
It is. It's why I married you. It certainly wasn't the other end. That other end I have no problem with. It's your fucking yap that drives me up the wall. All right, whatever. Why do I try to make a point? Why do I try to get ahead? You know what I mean? It's just like, Bill, you're losing, okay? You're at a casino, and the house always wins. And the house is your fucking wife. So just fucking cash in your chips and go back to the goddamn room. Anyways, let's get back to the NHL playoffs. Congratulations to the fucking expansion Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't hate you guys because I love Steve Yzerman and I know he's in your front office, so I'm happy for him. All right. Okay. Having said that, you guys were the better team. No matter how bad the officiating was, it was bad for both sides. And no matter what, I think you guys still, you just were a better team. You just were a better team no matter what you were going to win. But I will say this officiating straight across the board in the NHL playoffs, not just arguing for my team, has been really unprofessional. Really unprofessional. There's always a couple of calls here or there, but like it's reminding me of NBA officiating last decade. When I called it, I said it was fixed. I'm not saying it's fixed. This is coming off more like, I feel like it's like, did the real refs go on strike? And these are like some fucking scab refs they pulled out of the fucking crowd. There was just a couple of, like, look, you know, Marchand took that guy's fucking knees out. They didn't make a call there, which I thought was bullshit. And, you know, I know we were licking people's faces, and there's no rule against that yet. I can guarantee you, maybe now that the Bruins are knocked out, maybe they'll relax. But, I mean, I thought if we advanced to the next round, they were going to make a quick rule. It's going to be called the Marchand rule. It's going to be no player shall kiss, lick, tongue, or in any manner use his facial orifice with inappropriate contact. There's going to be the Brad Marchand rule. And someday, if I live long enough, I will see Brad when he's in his 70s on the NHL Network laughing about it, talking about how that rule came about and why he was doing what he was doing. It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, and it was hilarious. When they went back to the studio, Jeremy Roenick was like it happened to him. He's like, I would have immediately gone to the showers. And I was thinking like, oh, that's great. You're a Hall of Fame player. Let's get you off the ice. I had a buddy of mine actually text me, said, not even Sean Avery licked another player. And I was like, yeah, well, he was too dumb to think of it. And he goes, well, if he's that dumb, why is he married to a supermodel? And I said, all right, fair enough. You got me. Anyways, but just, you know, I mean, what the fuck? That guy in Tampa, like, we really needed to win game four so we could lose in six games. I mean, we were still going to lose. The fucking Tampa guy, his hands off his stick. He hauls McAvoy down behind his own net. Behind his own fucking net. No call. It was the most obvious. Not only did the announcers, when they went back to the fucking studio, even they were like, what the fuck? Tampa takes it, pass it over Stamkos, and they tie the fucking game up. And we, instead of having a chance to even the series at 2-2, we go down 3-1. It was just stuff like that. You know what's funny is Bartnick was in Tampa Bay, and he was listening to it on the radio, and Esposito said, that looked like a dive, which is the funniest fucking thing ever. Esposito is still fucking pissed that he asked for like $3 more from the cheap ass Boston Bruins 45 years ago, and they shipped him to New York, our arch rival, other than the Canadians, during that time. So he will never be impartial when it comes to us. But what the fuck kind of, who the fuck is going to dive behind their own net with the puck? Behind your own fucking net when you're up by one and you have to win that playoff game, or you're going to go down 3-1? I don't know. He is Esposito. He is a Hall of Famer. But that did not look like a dive to me. And having said all this fucking sour grape shit, I know Tampa still would have won. I know they probably would have won. Probably 6 games is what I think would have happened. They just had too much firepower. And I think by the time we decided to get physical in the series, it was too late. But that's what was missing in our game this year. I think against Toronto and against Tampa, which both of them I felt had more firepower than we did, is when you're playing a team that has, you know, is faster than you and has more goal scorers, you have to get physical with them. You can't just let them fucking skate around. And I think we just waited too long. But having said that, this rebuild is on an upswing. I mean, I thought that we were going to be bad for a good 6-7 seasons. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm very happy that we won a playoff series, advanced to the second round. Definitely a very successful year. And we're going to have a new rule named after one of our players, the Marchand rule. Maybe it's a good thing that we lost in 5. If there was any more games, he might have been the first guy to get a fucking Me Too case from another guy, right? Oh, no, wait. That one guy did. The agent did with the other guy from the cop show. All right. I guess everything's been done. Is that what it is? Has everything been done? And the whole time, this is what kills me, is I'm watching the Bruins, you know, just fucking losing this series, licking people's faces and shit. And I missed every single second of the Celtics 76ers. You know, I had to pick a road. I'm so busy. I got the kid and all that. And I only had time. And I missed, I guess, one of the most epic Celtics games in recent memory, where they tied it up at the buzzer against the Sixers and then came back and won in overtime. All I'm hearing is Rozier, Tatum, Brown, how much they're stepping up. Al Horford, I guess, was blocking shots like a maniac. And so now I have all the time in the world to watch the Celtics now. So that's what I kind of realized. You know, as much as I love the Celtics and everything, I really am a hockey guy, because I knew we were going to lose that series and I still hung in there and watched it. Although I missed yesterday's game because I was at a kid birthday party. An awesome kid birthday party. Like, you know, when parents do a kid birthday party right, you take notes. These people did it great. They didn't have it at their house. They had it at like a function room. There was an outdoor area. There was a little jumpy house. This guy did a bubble show. You know, he had a good set too, man. That's a tough crowd. You know, kids trying to keep them, you know, their attention. They had booze for the parents. They had great food, you know. And then over in the corner, they had this area where the kids, you know, one of those playpens that has like a zillion, you know, different multicolored balls and all that type. And it's just, my kid was totally entertained the whole time. I don't think I saw any kid crying, just until the very end, where the kids, you know, they need a nap and they're just like, I don't want to do it anymore. But it was a great time. So somebody there asked me, he goes, you Bruins playing right now? I'm like, I'm afraid to look. So I was kind of looking down, looking at the scores. And then all my Boston friends were sending me texts going, what the fuck are we doing? These refs suck. The refs really did suck. You know, who knows? They probably still would have maybe tied it up and beat us in 5. Who the fuck knows? But I'm just saying, you know, I just hate having that, like, that goddamn feeling. You know, that's like that year the Lakers beat us, you know, which sucks enough. But if the Lakers beat us, it's fine. I can live with that. They're the fucking Lakers. You know what I mean? But, you know, you call like 30-something fouls on one team and, you know, in the teens on the other in a Game 7. It's just inexcusable. Unless we were out there hacking people up. And it just, I don't know. It fucking drives me up the goddamn. Those are the ones that stay with me. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck if you just come in and kick our ass. But, you know, I do take peace in the fact that Tampa Bay was definitely the better team. And I feel at the, easily could have just beat us in six, as much as I hate to admit that, you motherfuckers. Anyways, plowing ahead, what's going to go on with the Capitals? Are the Capitals finally going to get over the hump and slay the dragon and beat these goddamn Penguins from Pittsburgh? Or are the Pittsburgh Penguins going to continue their march to be the first team since the New York Islanders, as Steve Byrne reminded me yesterday, since the New York Islanders to win three in a row? It's been that long. The Islanders actually won four in a row from 80 to 84. And I remember them when they were on the cover the next year of Sports Illustrated, and it said the strive for five. Just, you know, the rare, one of the rare times Sports Illustrated put a hockey player back then, you know, on the cover. And I think it was Mike Bossy, if I remember correctly. And yeah, that was the age of dynasties. When I grew up, when I think about it, from like, you look at the 70s in hockey, Bruins won two, Flyers won two, and the Canadiens won six. So you had three teams basically won everything. And then the previous decade, it was Canadiens, Leafs, and then the Blackhawks won one. And then I think Canadiens won five and the Leafs won four. Because I want to say the Leafs won like three in a row and then won in 67. And the Blackhawks won in 61 and everything else was the Canadiens, if I remember correctly. And then you went to the 80s, then the Islanders. So basically, after it went Bruins, Canadiens, Flyers, Flyers, then Canadiens, 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 then Islanders, 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 Edmonton, Edmonton, Canadiens, Edmonton, Edmonton, then Calgary beat the fucking Canadiens. One of my favorite ones, Lanny McDonald, the ginger, and then Edmonton again in 90. And then 91, 92 was the Penguins. And that was like, I mean, you're talking you could literally go back all the way to the 50s. Cause I know like the Red Wings won like back to back and everything else was just, it was just fucking basically pre 1967. If you had to guess who won the cup that year, either guess Canadiens or Maple Leafs. But then all of a sudden, you know, once, you know, they had the expansion six and 67 and then they added, you know, Edmonton Oilers and all those guys in like, I believe 78 or something like that. And then it was a 28 team league and it just took a little bit. Well, actually the Islanders were an expansion team in the early 70s. Then they got Al Arbor. They went on that run. But then after that, after the Penguins went back to back, it's just basically every other year, it's like somebody else wins it. Other than when the Red Wings one, two in a row, and I think the Penguins right now, right? Isn't that how it goes? I don't fucking know. But anyways, which is why I hate to say this as a Celtics fan. I think the Lakers, they're the most successful franchise in the modern era because they were able to, during free agency, win championships at a clip that people won before, you know, back when there was like... you know, if you were a Laker, you were a Laker. Go fuck yourself. You're not going somewhere else unless the owner decides. Having said that, you know, the Lakers do have a championship. that, you know, there was a mobbed up ref and fucked over the Sacramento Kings that year. I'm not saying the Kings would have won it, but the Lakers would not have gotten a banner that year. And then that other one with the fucking 30-something fouls in 48 minutes on the Celtics. I'll never forget Kobe. He goes, I don't know how we won that game. Well, fucking talk to the guys with the athlete foot shirts. anyways, sorry. I'm just in a fucking bad mood because my team lost. Anyways, plowing ahead here. Old Billy Novice. Trudging along. Into May. I wanted to go at least a week into May because I was just trying to go, you know, the month of April, basically viceless. And then I got into May and then I'm just like, you know what? I'm looking good. I'm keeping the weight off. I got the big 5-0 next month. It would really be a shame if I got this close to my birthday looking this good. And then I just, you know, I just fucking, you know, put on that booze 10 pounds. I don't want to do that, but so I've been laying off, bored as shit. Went to that party yesterday. There was booze there. Could have had one. Didn't do it. Went to the steakhouse. They had all the beautiful fucking bottles behind the bar. Didn't do it. Came home. Trudged past my bar. They don't even say hi anymore. Didn't do it. Went downstairs. Took out my phone. Played solitaire on it. Fell asleep. The exciting life of sobriety. You know what's hard, too, is I watched the Kentucky Derby. I would have won money because I always bet on that white-haired guy's horse because he's just the man. He's the Bill Belichick of that shit. And the year I went, the only time I went was that Triple Crown winner, and he owned it. I won money on that one. And I was thinking if I was there, I always the Michael McDonald guy of the horse racing owners. And I was just watching that event, and I was just, I was like, why am I not sitting here right now drinking some bourbon, smoking a cigar, right? Watching it through my front window with the volume turned up. Obviously, you can't smoke a cigar in the house, but I didn't do it. I just sat there, you know. I bought one of those TRX bands. You know, I'm going to go on the internet. So they'll have my custom workout. You know, my shoulder feels really good. It's really strong. I still haven't done a pull-up in like 2 years. I did, and then re-injured it, 6 months ago. So now I'm rehabbing it back. So now I'm trying to go nice and friggin' slow. I got these bands now. I'm back into doing yoga. I'm not fucking drinking. I'm not smoking, and I'm bored shitless. There, I said it. I'm fucking bored shitless. I like people who are sober. How the fuck? You know? You know what? I bought an external little CD player to plug in so I could finally do my Rosetta Stone French. And I've been doing that. Then, of course, you know, my wife helps me set the fucking thing up. And then it's working. I'm having a great time. And then I go to use it again. And, of course, it won't fucking work. It doesn't recognize anything. I don't know how to open it up. It's just a fucking pain in the ass. So hopefully at some point she'll take some time out of her day. But anyways, I'm going to polish up on that shit. I'm going to try to do an hour or two every single day right up until I get over to France. I just want to get a little bit better with my shit, but at some point I gotta become fluent in French because I just think a fucking moron like me knowing how to speak French is just something. It's too funny to not do it, right? Okay, I've actually ordered kids French books and I'm reading them to my daughter. Those are great because I was thinking like, well, how did I learn how to read English and speak it? You know, I had those little books. Bing and Sandy, Sandy and Bing. You remember them? Do they still have those fucking books? They were like these dogs. That really is one of the most fascinating things ever, is learning how to read. And you're a kid, so you don't really remember. Like somebody like teaches you how to fucking read. All right, let me see. Sandy and Bing. They were a dog and a cat. Let's see, I'm going back 45 years. Sandy and Bing books. I swear to God, if I see these, this is going to freak me out to see these books. And of course, it's not coming up. Come on, I have the slowest goddamn internet ever. Oh, they don't even have them anymore. Oh, Stanley Bing. Some guy, Stanley Bing, wrote a book, 100 Bullshit Jobs and How to Get Them. That is fucking hilarious. Why the hell would you do that? Why would you? Oh my God, look at this book. The Bernstein Bears and the Mean Drunk. And there's a bear, I swear to God, wearing a wife beater, holding a bat, and it looks like a bottle of Jack Daniels. This is why you gotta love the internet. I'm looking up a kid's book. and I find 100 bullshit jobs and how to get them, and the Bernstein Bears, am I saying that right? And the mean drunk. Bingo Crosby Anna, some Bugs Bunny one. All right, sorry. What the fuck? You guys are literally listening to me surf the goddamn internet. I've been doing a bunch of stand-up and popping in a bunch of places out here, getting ready for the gigs I have coming up that I do not deserve to be doing in Ireland and in London, Dublin and in London. So I'm going to make sure I'm beyond on my game when I do those things. I have a run of dates coming up in San Francisco, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to be up there with Nate Craig, Milwaukee Bucks fan. I'm not going to rub it in unless he brings it up. And I'll be up there all week. I'm going to find a studio space with a drum kit. I'm going to fucking practice that bullshit. I'll be doing my French, and I'm not going to be drinking, and I'm not going to be smoking cigars. Oh, boy. There's no fucking way I'm going to do this. I guess this is why people who are, you know, somebody actually asked me the other day if I wanted to go to a meeting. You know what I mean? And I was just like, dude, I can't sit there with all those fucking donuts and people smoking cigarettes. I'm just, you know what I mean? I'm not that, you know? Like, I mean, everything I ever fucking joined, I was like, I'm not this. I'm liking this, but I'm not quite this. Even like playing drums, as much as I love playing drums, I know I'm not a musician. Like when I go, you see, you know, when you really see somebody that has the fucking gift, you're like, that's what that is. I mean, I can try to do this and make a really difficult life for myself. It wasn't until I walked into a comedy club, an open mic, and I saw all those desperate lunatics, and I'm like, yeah, this is me. I'm this. This is what I am. So I went to an AA meeting. I've gone to a couple of them. They were required by the fucking courts of Massachusetts. I was required to go to two of those in a Mother Against Drinking and Driving way back in the day when I got arrested for that shit back in the 80s, you know? And I remember sitting there listening to these fucking stories, and I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. These people would have like head wounds and wake up from head wounds or stumble out of jail barefoot and just stumble across the street directly over to a liquor store. I mean, that is a fucking alcoholic. You know? They need help to stop. I can stop on my own. Am I just justifying all of this? That's what everybody in the program is going to be. I can stop on my own, and I just sit here, and I'm just bored out of my fucking mind. It doesn't make any sense. It's like I'm saying, that's like saying I'm never going to have ice cream ever again. It's like, ever? I could see not having it all the time, so you're not a fat fuck. I get that, so your teeth don't rot out of your fucking head. I was definitely drinking too much, but like, I'm never going to have it again. I'm going to go to the Kentucky Derby again someday, God fucking willing. I'm going to go to the Kentucky Derby again, and I'm going to sit there stone sober. I mean, you go into the track. I mean, right there, you're a degenerate. Why not give into it? I don't know. Who knows? But I will tell you, I do love it in the morning. When I wake up clear-headed in the morning and my pasty stomach is nice and flat, I definitely enjoy that, you know? Makes me a better dad. I always make my daughter breakfast. That's my thing every morning, right? I go out and I get her. I open the door and she goes, hi. I'm like, hey, right? She gives me a nice hug and a kiss. Then, you know, change her. Put a pajama bottoms across her eyes. Where is she? Where is she? Plays that game. Loves it. Still loving that game, right? And then I go upstairs. She's really easy. I cut up bananas, strawberries, and blueberries. Then I make her a couple of eggs scrambled. It's funny. What I like to do is I like to have it all prepared before I bring her upstairs. Because if I do, you know, because if she's just sitting there, she starts to get restless. Like, you know, where's the food? But if I have it all ready, the other day I had it all ready, you know, and I brought her up and I put her in her little chair. And I put her bib on and all that. And I put the plate down already ready and everything made. And she just goes, wow. No, she goes, whoa. It was awesome. And she can feed herself. The only thing I got to watch out for is she wolfs down food the way I do. So I just got to make sure I'm staying on her. So I make sure I cut up everything nice and small. Spread out the eggs so they cool off. She doesn't burn her mouth. And then that's it. Give her a glass of water and it's all good. So anyways, and I guess if I was hungover, that would probably be a bad thing. So then I think to myself, well, what if I just get shit-faced when I'm on the road? I'm only on the road like 4 days a month. That would be fine, right? What do you guys say about that? Huh? What do you say? All you guys in fucking AA. And I don't drink on the plane. It's just after the shows. There's got to be a way to do it. The way I used to be able to do it. You know what the really thing that fucked me up was? I never used to have booze in the house. So that's the problem. So when I do start drinking again, because I am going to start drinking, what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish all the liquor in my house, which even if I drank at a degenerate level would probably take me a good 6 months. So I don't know how I'm going to do it. I probably should have some people over and help them kill some of these bottles. But I have such good booze. I just can't give it away to some bum. You know what I mean? Like, you ever give a Cuban cigar to some guy who occasionally smokes and you just watch him just huff the whole fucking thing down? And, you know, you might as well give him a Dutch Master. That's the kind of booze I have. So what I would like to do is slowly knock out all the booze over the next 5 years that I have in the house and not replace any of the bottles. And then, because I think even back in the day when I lived in New York, when I was living in New York and DeRosa was living in New York, we used to just get fucking annihilated. But I never had any booze in the house. So in my apartment, I should say. So I think that's right there was the game changer. Is when I had it at home and then I had these nice fucking glasses. You know, when you really get into it, like there's this high level booze and these high level, like, you know, the right glass, and you get into the whole like ritual of it, and you really can trick yourself that you're not just being some degenerate drinking alone. You know what I mean? You're like, this is a highball glass, and this is what you use for this. This glass here is for Sam Adams beer. I actually have the Sam Adams glasses. You know, with that little lip at the top, like it's supposed to make the head and the hops and all of that taste, but it tastes the fucking same. You know what I mean? That's like when they do all these reissues of guitars. You know what I mean? I can't tell the difference the way I play guitar, which I barely do anymore. You know, you could give me the greatest guitar in the world. I'm still going to sound like me, which is shitty. So anyways, I don't know. Who the fuck knows? But a buddy of mine's actually been listening to these tapes that, you know, talk about alcohol, not in that stupid, you need to go to get help type of way, but they just talk about, they just put it in a different perspective. I don't know. I'm just like a streaky person. That's all it is. So like when I'm not drinking, I don't want to drink because I don't want to ruin the streak. I'm like, ah, man, I've gone like 35, 40 days here. I'm going to start all over again. Let me see if I can make it to 50. Because there's a big part of me that, would like to plow right through my birthday and not drink. But then it's like I'm going to be in France. How the fuck do you not drink when you're over there? I'm not going to have a fucking glass of wine. Sit there like a fucking jerk off. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways. All right. Zip Recruiter. Talk about the challenge of finding great talent and how the way you went about it just did not work or was inefficient. Well, I'd love to tell you that was a problem, but I actually got lucky where somebody who was a fan of my podcast reached out to me by the name of Andrew Themelis, and I've been working with him ever since, you know. And he's been great. So I don't know what to tell you, ZipRecruiter. Knew there was a smarter way. Well, look, obviously, if I actually ran a business where I needed more than one friggin' employee, okay, and I don't want to waste time bringing people in and sitting there talking to them and trying to find out if they came from divorce or, you know, how they did in school, or go check their goddamn Facebook page to see what they've liked or not liked. This seems the easiest way to do it. And you can just sift through the entire nation of qualified candidates. Well, ZipRecruiter knew that there was a smarter way. So they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employees who post jobs on Zip get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. That's right. Oh, sorry. The right candidates are out there. Zip is how you find them. Call to action. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/burr. ZipRecruiter.com/burr. They're going to do it again. Zip. The smartest way to hire. I got to save my voice here because I got to record some F is for family. F is for fucko today. All right. Movement, MVMT, Movement Watches. Spring is right around the corner and Movement is dropping all new sunglasses to get you ready. It's dropping all new sunglasses to get you ready for the warmer weather. We just got our go-to shades for it all. Who's we? Is that them? Is that supposed to be me? The guys at Movement don't just make great watches. They also make awesome sunglasses and just realized a ton of new styles. Oh, just released a ton of new styles. What is wrong with me today? All right. Here's my problem with sunglasses, evidently. I got all these cheap pairs that look terrible. No, I don't. I have nice sunglasses. I have a couple cheapos and I fucking hate those. But every time I buy a $200 pair, I feel like I get ripped off. That's not the truth. Every time I spend $200, I end up fucking losing it or sitting on them or dropping them on the pavement. Well, our friends at Movement, yeah, the watch guys, they kind of felt the same way. So they thought, screw it. Oh, they're getting dangerous here. How about we make quality trendy glasses at a fair price? These things aren't plastic. They're acetate. You can get them polarized. Isn't there enough of that on Facebook? And they just start at $70. They are seriously going to be your go-to shades. These are high-quality premium acetate frames. No cheap plastic here. You got to see these. They have lots of styles to choose from. Classy, trendy, round, aviator, mirrored, polarized for him or for her. You're sure to find the perfect pair. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/burr. You know Movement for how they've revolutionized the watch industry. Now's the time to check out their sunglasses. Go to movement.com/burr. Join the movement. Oh, shit. The Black Tux, everybody. Like the Ohio State University. This is the Black Tux. These are the tuxedos that those people on Ohio State were wearing when they sold their jerseys and got put on suspension. Wedding season is upon us. Ugh, that's right, it is. You're going to be doing it big and going out to all of your buddies' weddings. I got to be honest with you. Weddings are actually great now. Weddings sucked when I was a kid because they were still, like, people weren't making them individual. They just were all the same. They were long and fucking boring. And you were like, when can we get to the bar? When you're bringing a date, you want to look fresh, but it has to be convenient. That's where the Black Tux comes in. Dude, you're not even in the wedding and you're going to wear a tuxedo to a wedding? That's fucking hilarious. You're going to outdress the groom. I like the way these people are thinking. The Black Tux has awesome suits and tuxedos in all kinds of styles, and you rent them online. Oh, I get it. You're going to wear a suit. The Black Tux offers the kinds of suits and tuxedo styles that would normally be wildly expensive to buy. You might only wear it once, like the emerald shawl tuxedo. It's funky, it's cool, but how many times are you going to wear an emerald green tuxedo? With the Black Tux, you can do you and blow it out for your one big event. You're going to wear an emerald green tuxedo to somebody else's wedding. You know when you do that? You do that when you used to be fucking the bride, you know? And she's doing that douche move of inviting an old boyfriend to the wedding. We're just friends. We're at a good place. By the way, as a man, you cannot allow that to happen. You cannot allow that to happen. I mean, I would actually question whether I would even marry the person if they're inviting an old boyfriend. With the Black Tux free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. Well, you better make sure you eat well if you're going to try it on that early. After ordering, your suit will arrive 14 days before your event. If anything's less than perfect, if you put on a few pounds or took a few off, I guess, the Black Tux will send you a replacement right away. Oh, that's cool. And remember how simple returns are. Wear it, turn heads, then send it back 3 days after your event. Shipping is free both ways. Stand out at your event for the right reasons with The Black Tux. To get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/burr. That's theblacktux.com/burr for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered. All right, one more. Here we go, stamps.com. The U.S. Postal Service is an important tool for any business. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter, and there are no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com because whenever I send out my postage, which, by the way, you got to see the poster for my tour coming up, which is simply called 50. All right, the big 5-0 people. And I am actually sending posters over to Dublin and over to London. That's the first place the poster, that's where the tour officially gets kicked off. And I actually am not going to be using stamps.com for that just because the company is going to be sending it out themselves. However, when they send me the rest of the posters and when I do Minnesota and all that, I will be using stamps.com. And I'm a moron. If I can figure it out, so can you. And right now, you too can enjoy the stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. And by the way, in Dublin and in London, I will be coming out after the show to take pictures and sign your poster, something that I have not done in fucking years. I'm going to do that again because I appreciate you guys coming out. It is a big birthday. Why not? You know, and God knows I'm not in the back drinking. Although, I think once I get through Dublin and once I get through London, I think, you know, that would be June 6th. I think that's the night I might actually have a little something. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, I'm bringing my whole family over there. I can't be hungover. That's another reason why my daughter's the best, right? She keeps me sober. All right. Hang on 1 second. I have to look something up here because now we're going to get into the questions this week. And there's a point that somebody's bringing. It's a point that somebody's bringing up about guns. And they're doing it in the usual way that people do it on the internet, where they insult the other person. And I just want to make sure I have the definition of something up here. Okay. Bullshit AR-15 response to goat guy. For those of you who don't listen all the time. There's a whole gun debate. Why do you need an AR-15? So I was asking people that have AR-15s. I said, why do you have one? And don't give me that bullshit about fucking, you know, home defense and all of that crap. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, you could literally have a 22. Who the fuck? Anybody want to get shot by a fucking 22? I would have a 22. I did a whole bit on that just because I don't want to fucking blow my eardrums out. I mean, a fucking BB gun. You know, with one of those little fucking CO2 cartridges. You shoot somebody in the fucking face with that thing. And what are they going to do? They're going to keep walking through that? They can go down the street and just not have to worry about anything when they walk into that house. I don't know. Anyways. Oh, you know, or to fight off the government. That's my another famous one. That's another, my other favorite one. You're going to fight off the government with your fucking semi-automatic gun here? The whole government. You're going to fight them all off? I got a lot of bullets, motherfucker. All right. So anyway, so this guy ends up writing in saying that he was a sheep farmer or whatever, goat farmer or something like that. Yeah, goat farmer. And he uses the milk to make Parmesan Reggiano, and he also, or some whatever the fuck he used, like two different types of cheese. I forget what the other kind, but both delicious types of cheese. And there's all these coyotes, and they hunt in packs, and he's shooting at a moving target, and it just made fucking sense. So then somebody else wrote back, ah, that's bullshit. Just get some fucking dogs. They'll fight off the coyotes. Coyotes are cowards. This guy's full of shit. And to be randomly killing coyotes like that is, you know, mean and all that. So this guy is responding to the person that responded to the guy. Because I was impressed with that guy when he said, this is why I use it. I'm going, well, oh, shit, that makes sense. And I like that cheese, so God bless you. Kill those coyotes, right? So anyways, this guy's responding to the person that said that that guy still didn't need the gun. He could just get a couple of dogs. So anyways, he said, hey, Bill, I'd like to say to the guy's response about just buy dogs instead of an AR-15, does not know what the fuck he's talking about. First of all, it's not a machine gun, you dumb cunt. It's semi-automatic rifle, meaning you pull the trigger once and one bullet fires. Okay, now do you see how he just made his point? It's not a machine gun, you dumb cunt. It's a semi-automatic rifle. You should say it's not a machine gun. It's semi-automatic. And then you should explain what semi-automatic means. All right? Semi-automatic doesn't just mean that you just pull the trigger and one bullet fires, because then literally a fucking 38 is semi-automatic. Doesn't that mean like you can actually pull the trigger quickly, faster, where it won't get jammed or something like that? I mean, there's something different between just a fucking revolver, a semi-automatic, and fully automatic. I don't know shit about guns, right? But isn't there? So I looked up semi-automatic firearm. It says this, and without calling anybody a dumb cunt, you're just not informed. There's a lot of information in the world. You can't have it all between your ears. A semi-automatic firearm, or a self-loading firearm, is one that not only fires a bullet each time the trigger is pulled, but also performs all steps necessary to prepare it to discharge again, assuming cartridges remain in the firearm feed device. Typically, this includes extracting and ejecting the spent cartridge case from the firing chamber, recocking the firing mechanism, and loading a new cartridge into the firing chamber to fire again. The trigger is released to fire again. The trigger is released and repressed again. All right. So now let me ask you this. So is a 38, because the revolver turns, is that considered semi-automatic? Now I'm just confused. Semi-automatic. Let me look up. Let me look this up. Is a revolver. You know what's funny? People who are into gun right now, the amount of people that are listening to me like I'm a fucking moron. Like this means that they're better at math. It's like, I don't own guns. I don't know anything about this shit. If you didn't know anything about drums, I wouldn't make fun of you because you didn't know what a fucking hi-hat was. Is a revolver semi-automatic? Let's see here. And he hits search and it takes 2 hours. A revolver which uses multiple chambers and a single barrel, and a derringer which uses multiple chambers and multiple barrels, also fire one round per trigger pull, but achieve this in different ways and as such are not classified as being semi-automatic. Semi-automatic pistols. A semi-automatic pistol is a type of pistol that is semi-automatic. I swear to God, that's the first statement. Meaning, it uses the energy of the fired cartridge to cycle the action of the firearm and advance the next available cartridge into position. So basically, if I don't have some revolutionary war thing that it's just like I put a bullet in, shoot, and then put another bullet in, or I don't have to do that cocking thing that you always see with the sniper rifles, All right, so this is sort of a basic gun then. This is like a car with power windows and power brakes and power steering, like most cars have that now. Is that basically what you're saying when you were calling this guy a dumb cunt? He's not a dumb cunt. I bet that guy, what if this guy, what if he's a veterinarian? That doesn't mean you're a dumb cunt. All right. You should have said you uninformed cunt. How about that? Can we meet in the middle there? You can still call him a cunt, but just use the correct adjective. Anyways, just like most rifles and handguns these days. Oh, he actually explained it to me if I continued reading. Okay. First of all, it's not a machine gun, you dumb cunt. It's a semi-automatic rifle, meaning you pull the trigger once and one bullet fires, just like most rifle and handguns these days. Right off the bat, you know this guy doesn't know what he's talking about and probably never shot a gun in his life. Fair enough. That's all good. I usually wouldn't be this hostile, but hey, I had a few drinks and I'm passionate about this subject. All right, fair enough. Anyway, I believe his argument was to buy a fleet of dogs to protect your livestock. He didn't say a fleet. He said, you know, get like two or three. He said, get the fuck out of here. You know how expensive trained dogs are to protect your livestock? Well, do you? Or are you just drunk at a bar throwing this out? I mean, Christ, purebred German shepherds are $800 to $900 around here. Now, you're a moron. No one's getting a German shepherd to... you get like a fucking sheepdog Christ, one of my buddies has one of those dogs. They're smart as shit. I forget the name of the dog. You see, and now you don't know about dogs, you dumb cunt. You uninformed cunt. God knows what a fucking fleet of dogs costs, not to mention the food and attention you have to give them. AR-15 prices are going down every day, and with ammo well under 50 cents a round, you'd have to be a dumbass. Oh, Jesus. Parentheses, or a liberal, not to use this. All right, and right there, your whole argument is out the window. Anybody who classifies all conservatives or Republicans or all liberals or Democrats is morons right there. You know what I mean? That's kind of like what I was doing earlier when I was talking about how bad the officiating was against the Bruins. However, I did bring up that, you know, Marchand should have got a fucking misconduct for taking that guy's knees out. And I did say that straight across the board. It's been really fucking unprofessional. However, but if I were to just sit there and say all the bad calls went against us, I mean, I don't know. What kind of fucking world? Kind of dumbass or a liberal? You get it? Because they're dumbasses. And I just made them out to all be Southerners, like everybody down south is a dumbass, which is not true. Mark Twain, you know what I mean? That guy was so smart. He wrote all those books in Kentucky Fried Chicken, had that guy dressed just like him. In conclusion, he said, in conclusion, as if he's made this great argument, I think there is a huge lack of education on firearms in the U.S. today. He actually wrote in the US today. He didn't capitalize the U.S. I would 100% agree with that. At the end of the day, the AR-15 is the most effective tool for a lot of jobs. P.S. I saw you in Nashville. Your final bit fucking killed. Love you and go fuck yourself. Sincerely, your freedom loving fans in Nashville. Dude, you know something? I got to be honest with you. I agreed with your points, but when you said dumbass or liberal and the fact that you said freedom loving, like, who doesn't love to be free? You know what I mean? Are you another one of these people that thinks that ISIS is a major threat to a first world country with their no plane, no boat, no uniform, no real weaponry, modern weaponry, fucking army? You know what I mean? Do you think if ISIS was living in the Badlands, we would even waste a fucking second of our goddamn tax dollars to try and stop them? There's plenty of fucking cunts out there. They're just not sitting on top of a bunch of fucking oil. Freedom loving, you fucking, you know something? You really lost me there. I mean, if you don't agree with me, I guess you just don't like freedom. Oh boy. What? I, the amount of people that are drinking that fucking Kool-Aid 15 years into this fucking thing. It's a liberation. They have weapons of mass destruction. They've changed it like 90 fucking times. And I'm so sick of the fact that you can't criticize what the fuck. Those fucking broke-ass cunts over there are going to bankrupt us. How long can you spend $700 billion a fucking year? At some point, we're going to have to pay for that. I'm going to have to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. Our kids, their kids, and all of that. Jesus fucking Christ. Over a bunch of jerk-offs with a bag of M80s. It's unfucking believable. It's unbelievable. You know why we're over there. Saddam knew why we went over there. He lit it on fire before we got there. But you can't say that anymore in this country, because if you do, that means you're an ISIS or you're a socialist or some shit like that. It's just fucking, it's unbelievable. It's unfucking believable. Meanwhile, this place is going to hell in a handbasket with a nationwide heroin epidemic. Our food supply is fucking poison, and the bankers got the houses back so they can cook the economy again. All of that is fine. All of that is fine. But if you tell jokes at a fucking presidential, whatever the fuck that is, the whole goddamn world stops. All right, this girl. Billy Blowfish. Love you. Billy Blowfish, I like that. Love your podcast. I've been listening to it every time I'm in the car driving to and from work. Definitely makes my commute better. Listen, I'm a 22-year-old guy, and I've been talking to this girl who has a kid. Now I know what you're thinking. What the fuck is going through your stupid fucking head? But the problem is I think I really like this girl. I don't think that's a problem. As long as you're willing to take on the responsibilities of that relationship, there's nothing wrong with it. And one thing I forgot to mention, I haven't even met her in person yet. Okay. I just dropped the microphone on that one. I'm supposed to meet up with her. Oh, okay. I just thought you were stalking her on social media. I'm supposed to go meet her up this Saturday. Is that a new expression? I think you meant to say meet up with her this Saturday night after work, and I'm not sure what will happen. The thing is, she's exactly like me. She's vegetarian. She likes animals and nature, et cetera, et cetera. What's the Nashville guy doing right now? Yeah, she likes all that, but doesn't like freedom. But she has a fucking kid, Bill. I'm fucking 22 years old and can't stop thinking about this girl who has a fucking kid. Please give me some advice. I'm not sure how to proceed. Well, I think you're very concerned with the responsibilities of the fact that she has a kid and what that's going to mean. And you're only 22 years old, and there's fucking nothing wrong with that. Okay. And don't let all these fucking, don't ask a woman about this, because she's just going to stick up for the fucking woman. Because she's going to insert herself into that situation, would be like, well, I'd still like to be able to find love just because I have a kid. Dude, you're 22 years old. You are a kid. All right? Unless you're like really mature or something like that, that is a major detail that you should be thinking about. All right? So I would respect the fact that there's a voice in your head that's saying, dude, she's got a fucking kid. All right, before, you know, because I'm going to tell you right now, dude, like what you're getting involved in there, you know, if that goes south, you're going to break two hearts, okay? Because there's two people that are going to fall in love with you in that thing. So make sure you're prepared and you don't waste her time and that poor kid's time. All right? So there you go. That's my advice to you. This isn't, you know, oh, look at the tits. I want to fuck her. This is not that situation, you know? All right. Advice. Dick the douchebag friend. Dear Billy Angel Tits. I don't even know what that means, but anytime anybody calls me an angel, I take that as a compliment. I guess because they're as white as an angel's gown. Maybe it's an insult. I don't know. Billy Red Tits. Billy Devil Tits. You can go either way on that. Love the podcast. Thank you. Since you're always offering great wisdom and words to live by, I'm really not. I'm a fucking moron, and you guys listen to me for some reason. Maybe you can help me out with this one. For the sake of anonymity, hope I said that right. Let's call this douchebag friend of mine Dick. Dick is the kind of person that can get annoying and touchy towards women when he's drunk, to the point where it starts to border on harassment. It's always weird. It always weirds me the fuck out, and I don't know how to address this behavior. Simple. Be like, hey, Dick, will you fucking knock it off? What's wrong with you? Keep your hands to yourself. He goes, a few weeks ago, we met this 18-year-old girl at a bar. What the fuck's she doing at a bar? Which we had a great time with. We all went to Dick's house afterwards for a couple more drinks, and Dick tried to make some moves on this girl. He couldn't get into her pants that night, however. However, last Friday, he did. Now, this is where it gets crazy. The next day, he took the girl to a yearly festival to celebrate Liberation Day, where he and I and a whole bunch of friends had planned to meet up. This is obviously from another country. I don't know, Liberation Day. She basically only knew me and him. About 15 minutes into meeting each other there, the girl started puking up foam. As it turns out, she hadn't eaten all day and had popped a pill of ecstasy, which he had given to her. Oh my God. He didn't seem to care what was happening, so I decided to take her to the bathroom area to clean her up, and I brought her some water, and then we went back to look for Dick. Well, why would you take her back to him? When we finally found him, let me guess, he was trying to hook up with somebody else. I told Dick, like, dude, she hasn't eaten all day, man. She was puking back there, and you should get her something to eat. And what did this motherfucking do? He quickly walked away and left me to deal with this 18-year-old chick for the rest of the entire day. We didn't see him again for the rest of the day, and we made no effort in trying to. He made no effort in trying to find us. What a dick! Being the gentleman that I am, I decided to stay with her to guide her through this ecstasy trip. I gave her some food and tried to have fun. And even though we did have fun, it had already ruined that day for me. He tried to contact me today, but I'm really questioning whether he even deserves a response. What do you think, Bill? Should I give this dick another chance? Or is this the kind of person you want to cut out of your life completely? Thanks. I'll tell you, too. This is a no-brainer. I'd pick up the phone, and I would just tell him, like, dude, you are a fucking piece of shit. And your behavior around women is completely unacceptable. To the point I would warn other women to stay away from you. And I don't want to be friends with a person like you. Have a nice life. And God bless the United States of America. I mean, that's it. That's an easy one. I don't even have to think about that one. All right. Fuck Banks. Bill, I'm writing to you because I believe you are the only man crazy and angry enough to relate with me on this. Dude, fuck Banks. Fuck them all. This month, I just found out I owe my bank $45. Apparently, Fitness Connection attempted to withdraw $10 from my account these past 2 months, once a month. I had about $5 in my bank 2 months ago. This could not cover the $10 fee a month for my gym membership twice, so now I'm being charged a fee of $45, even though, one, it's debit, two, Fitness didn't actually withdraw the money. They only attempted to. Nothing went through. So not only do I owe my bank $45, but I also owe Fitness Connection about $50 in late fees and the $2 fees that never got paid. Please explain to me why I'm being charged for this transaction that didn't go through. Is there a guy working in the dark room at the bank pushing buttons who they have to pay for the transaction services? No. It's all fucking ones and zeros, all computers. Yet another fee that we as consumers accept for no reason at all, even if it makes no sense. The idea of letting an entity such as a bank hold your money seems to carry way more cons than it does perks. I'm taking your advice and I'm going to call and complain until I get what I want. Fuck banks forever. Now all my money lives in the walls. If the house burns down, then so be it. But at least I didn't get fucked by the man. Keep the good work and good luck to your Celtics. Jason Tatum is looking like a baller. All right. I agree with a lot of things you're saying there, but what you didn't take responsibility for was your own actions that led to this. All right. If you know that you owe your gym $10 a month, you're going to have to fucking have that in your bank account. You didn't have that. So then, I don't know how it works. I know if you write a check and it bounces, there's a fee. So you're saying this is debit, but you're using your debit like paying cash and everything. So I actually don't think banks are out of line for doing that. What I think is you need to be more responsible with your money. And like, I agree with you. Banks are fucking evil. It's a giant Ponzi scheme. There's nothing behind the fucking money, but everybody believes in it. So, hey, we live another day. All right. But the thing about it is you have to learn to make money work for you. And if you don't understand money, the wonderful thing about the internet is if you stop, you know, reading people screaming about politics or watching online porn and all of that shit, which I've been guilty of all of that stuff, there's actually a lot of things that you can learn. And what I've learned about money is that money can set you free or it can imprison you. And it all depends on the choices that you're making. And the choices that you're making, sir, are horrific. And back in the day, would have landed you and all of your family into debtor's prison. So you got off easy in the modern world. You know, I guess taking your money out of the banks, you know, putting it in your walls. I don't disagree with that past a certain amount of fucking money, but, I like to invest in things that are intangible. I'm into real estate. I'm into buying apartment buildings and shit like that. You always have to hedge your bets. Like I'm buying apartment buildings, just starting to do that. Not as like I bought a bunch. I'm looking at one, right? Cause it fascinates me to have income coming into my house every month that's not actually in the business that I'm in. And the business that I'm in now, considering now with social media, somebody can just say you did something and there's no, what do you call it? There's no due process or anything. And that could literally cause everybody in the business you're in to just walk away from you. And then what do you do? You know, so, and that's just a new pitfall in this fucked up business that I'm in, which, you know, even before all that Me Too shit, I mean, you see these movie stars, one hit after another, and all of a sudden they have a couple of flops in a row and then they just disappear. So this business has always been fickle as hell. So I planned on doing this anyways. But after all of that stuff came out and like, you know, just recently looking at that Tom Brokaw stuff, I don't know if he's guilty or innocent. But the fact that two people can just accuse him, and which is totally their right, but the amount of people that just on the accusations now just look at that guy like he's a complete piece of shit isn't right. Isn't any more right than if he actually did what they said they were doing and then he's actually guilty of it. But to just, you know, an accusation is just an accusation. But the amount of people that then take that as, you know, game, set, match is, I mean, it's just how the world works. It's just how it works. So you need to learn about money. You can't just say fuck banks and then just be antisocial and have your, like, money in the walls. I mean, you can use banks as long as you know what the game is. You can use it in your favor. And if you just resist the stupidity of consumption and flat screen TVs and all of this shit that these stupid fucking celebrities show you when they go into their houses and, oh, I had this stupid thing. Oh, what they're showing you is a fucking, the only thing that's impressive is the house. Everything else is a liability. It's all depreciating assets. They're fucking cars, all of that shit. You know what I mean? Those stupid supercars that those fucking idiots buy that, you know, the only place you really should be taking it is to a track so you can actually, you know, open the thing up. And then all of those cars, like, you know, you look at those Ford GTs. I saw one the other day for sale. And it was like fucking 10, 15 years old. And it was high miles. It had 6,000 miles on it. Now, it retained most of its value. But it's just, I don't know. I guess unless you're going to buy those things, but all of those flat screen TVs, the monogram fucking stupid shit, the oil painting yourself, it's just a bunch. It's a bunch of shit. It's fucking stupid. The pots and pans that you buy, that rather than just buying the ones at Target, you go out and you got to go to fucking Foofy Foof's fucking place and buy these gourmet level fucking pots and pans to heat up your fish sticks. Because at the end of the day, you're still that blue collar jerk off. It's all a fucking waste of money and it's just a bunch of shit. Now, if you actually take your money, right? You know, and learn how to invest it, and then your money starts making money, that's when you flip it. When your money is earning you fucking money, when you're fucking sitting on a couch watching a game and your money is out there making you fucking money, then you understand it. And I mean, I don't even understand it, okay? But I'm just starting to learn how to do it. And the I don't know, they just, it's nowhere in the educational system. You have to seek out that knowledge yourself. Like most quality knowledge that's out there, you have to seek it out because people aren't going to give it to you. So that's what I would say. So I feel for you that you're in that position. I've been in that position. But I wouldn't say fuck banks. Use banks rather than have banks use you. All right. There you go. It's a long explanation, but an important subject. All right. My sister's deadbeat boyfriend. Dear Tara Billy. I don't know what that means. I'm a junior in high school, and I live with my mother, sister, and her deadbeat boyfriend. Wow. He moved in with intentions to pay rent and help fix up our house that is slowly falling apart. Is this Dwight Yoakam from fucking Sling Blade? But for the past year, this loser's had no job and has paid no rent. Yeah, he's a gold-digging whore. All he does is sleep all day and play Xbox. He also mentally manipulates my sister by telling her things like her family doesn't care enough about her to give her a funeral. Oh my God, you got to get this guy out of the house. While he gets high and drunk and totes his guns around, my mom has on multiple occasions threatened to kick him out but she won't in fear that my sister will go with him. What in the fuck is... I don't even understand how a parent loses this level of control in their own house. So, Bill, what do you think I should do about this situation? Thank you for being so damn... thank you. All right. I'm looking forward to Family Season 3. What do you think I should do? You got to sit down and talk to your mom. And you just say, Mom, I know this is a difficult situation, but you got to kick this guy out of the house. He's drunk and he's walking around with guns. You got to choose your family first. And if our sister chooses him over us, then so be it. I mean, that's it, dude. You got to get that guy out of the fucking house. Fuck that loser. That's it. These are all cut and dries this week. Dump that fucking douche that banded that chick after he gave her the ecstasy. Learn how to fucking use money correctly and get this fucking guy out of the house. Jesus Christ, I feel like I'm cheating on a test here. These are easy this week. Sit down with your mom and just say, we got to kick this guy out. And this is what I would do. I would, if you need to, I would call the cops before you kick him out. If you think he's going to be a problem, I would have the cops come down there and say, I don't want this guy in my house anymore. He does have firearms and I want him out of the house. What a fucking loser. All right. Dumped because of infidelity 20 years ago. Big Billy Bald Balls. Massive fan of the podcast and your specials have had me in stitches. Oh, thank you. I really need your opinions/advice on a situation with recent issues. I've just broken up with an amazing lady, the woman I was going to propose to this month. We had been together 8 months, but when you get to your late 30s, you can cut through the bullshit pretty quickly and get to a meaningful relationship. I knew she was the one I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. Our relationship had been great. No arguments, lots of fun, laughter, and love. Only one issue existed between us, and it seems to have caused the end of the relationship. Not long after we started dating, we were out having drinks and we were talking lightly about past relationships, and she asked if I had ever been unfaithful. I wanted to be honest and said yes. She asked to know more, and I described the time when I was 20 and I had been an idiot and cheated on my girlfriend at the time. I stressed that I regretted it and have never entertained the thought of doing that again. I am simply not the same guy. She reacted very badly, leaving the pub, crying outside before coming back in and telling me she wished I'd lied. We managed to get past it, though, that night. Dude, you were 20. The relationship went on as normal. We shared many weekends and holidays, fun nights out, cozy nights in, talked about a future together, and I was invited to share Christmas and New Year's with her entire family. It was great. Even as recently as last week, she was redesigning my garden for use in the summer. It has reared its head two more times since then. Once on my birthday in January, when we nearly broke up over it, and she was struggling with it again. She was so upset, kept saying, why couldn't you have just lied? But we talked through and moved on again, or so I thought. And then, of course, recently, when it all ended. Every time it has come up, I've been honest and shown true remorse and been very supportive. Very recently, we broke up because she just can't get past my past and said it's the only thing stopping her from committing to me fully. She loves me, wanted to be talking about having children with me, blah, 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 blah. I don't need to read less of this. Everywhere you look, all you hear is the once a cheater, always a cheater lines, which in my case simply is not true. I know that some of this stems from one of her past relationship, which ended in 2016 when she was engaged and the guy broke it off and ran off with one of her friends. I don't want to lose this lady. Only back on Valentine's Day, she made me present. Only back on Valentine's Day, she made me a present of 100 reasons why she loves me. One of them was that she thinks about the future. She only saw it with me. And then I made her feel like no one else has. This can surely be saved, but I don't understand it, and I don't know what to do. Thanks, Bill, and go fuck yourself. Well, I mean, what the fuck can you do? I mean, if she's going to judge you by what you did when you were 20 years old, I just laid on the table and said, listen, I want to marry you, all right? There's nothing I can do to make, you know, I'm paying for the sins of that last guy. And if you want to throw this relationship away because of that last guy, that's on you. Dude, you've done all you can do here. You've done all you can do here. So she's obviously not over that other guy or the pain of that other guy, and now you're paying for it. I don't know. So, I mean, what the fuck can you do? I would just tell her how I feel about her and just say, listen, I'm ready to get married anytime you want to. But if you don't, then you got to let me go, and I got to move on. I got to get, you know, because I'm in my late 30s. And if you don't trust me enough that I'm not going to fuck around on you, then I don't know what to tell you. Then I guess it is over, but it's going to be your call. It's not my call. Something like that. I don't know. That's a tough one, buddy. All right. The last one. Last one here. Jesus, this is a long podcast. Did I blow my chances with this girl from work? Hello, Bill Nye, the angry guy. I'll keep this as short as I can. Who just opened that door? Hey, buddy. Hey, what's up, cutie pie? I guess I'm watching you right now. Hi. Huh? What's going on? Don't pull the cord. Don't pull the cord. All right. Nia, help me out with this one. This guy's asking, did I blow my chances with this girl from work? Hello, Bill Nye, the angry guy. I'll keep this short as I can. I work with this girl that is a solid 10. She's absolutely gorgeous, and her personality matches mine in 100 different ways. And she's a nerdy chick, which is a massive plus. If you saw her, you'd say, holy S, why does she work in a place like this? Can't curse my kids here. Quick and simple. I got to know her. We constantly flirted back and forward. Not back and forth, Nia. They flirted back and forward. She put a lot of attention on me. Not to sound egotistical, but I'm a good-looking... I thought he said 62-year-old guy. 6'2". guy. My issue is that when I get too comfortable, I begin to spill my red flags and I start to describe my self-confidence issues. I guess I do this to see if she's okay with them. Bad move. Yes, it is. After working with her for nearly a year and a half now, she seems distant. Yeah, you probably waited too long. We used to watch the same shows, not physically together, but then come to work the next day and have long conversations about how awesome they were. She used to make efforts to initiate conversation. Now she barely acknowledges me anymore. It was really sudden. Well, she probably met someone. I'm not trying to be a dick here. I've tried a lot to strike up conversation, but she acts disinterested. I started trying to make her jealous, but she doesn't seem to give a F. We work in an almost exclusive male workplace, so of course everyone is trying to get with her. It burns my blood to watch it, but it's my fault. Is there anything I can do to reverse my situation, or have I sealed this case shut? Thanks for reading. Please come to... I'm not going to say the city in case she's listening. Yeah, I think you blew it with her. The only...
Your girlfriend broke up with you.
Huh?
Your work girlfriend broke up with you.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is move on and stop talking about your confidence issues. You need to get some confidence, and you need to get outside the workplace, and you need to start hitting on some women, and you need to go on dates, and then you're going to feel more confident about yourself, and that's the best way to try to make this woman more interested in you. Yeah. All right?
Don't S where you eat anyway, right? Don't S where you eat.
Yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, this guy doesn't have confidence, so he's not going to walk up to a woman that he doesn't really know. He needs to get over that hump, which is why it worked, because there's a reason they're supposed to be there. He feels more comfortable, and he, you know, she was probably waiting for him to ask around, and then he didn't, and then now it sounds like she's with somebody else.
Yeah, or she's just over his, just over it, you know, that little fun, like I said, work boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and now she's moved on.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, do plenty of fish in the sea, you know, and don't waste your time getting jealous with this person. Just like you go in there, you don't care.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Yeah. What's up, Smiley? Huh?
Lisa?
Hi. You know, it's funny now, she speaks gibberish, but she knows exactly what she's saying, and then she'll just throw in a random real word. She'll be like, hi. Huh? Yeah, you want to tell some stories? All right, that's the podcast for this week. Go you know what yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning, you bunch of bees. All right, I'll talk to you later.